I can live with it if you can. Amen. I'm going to give you a fill in the blank. The head of every woman is the man. The head of every man is Christ. We don't like being told what to do a lot of times. It's just our human nature, specifically us men, but even in general us human beings. We like to do our own thing. We like to do it our own way. And we like to do it at our own timing, the way we want, how we want, what we want, when we want. In fact, there's a fast food industry in this country that speaks to that pretty well. You can go get what you want pretty quickly, how you want it. I think some of them let you say, have it your way, right? But that's what we want. But the scripture says we all have a head over us, something that's in charge of us, okay? That's not there to rule over you in such a way that you just feel like you never get to have your own way. You never get to do what you want. That's not what it's there for. We see there's scripture that talks about a woman's hair being given to her as a, what? Covering. That's the same purpose. That's the same thing, the same reason why the head of the woman is the man and the head of the man is Christ. For a covering, okay? It's given to us for a covering. Now, the scripture says men aren't supposed to have their head covered when they pray, but women are, okay? But that doesn't mean men get to go without a covering. No, the head or the covering of every man is Christ, okay? I saw an image one time that speaks to this. It's actually kind of in the structure of a family, and it has children at the bottom, and it has an umbrella over them, and it says the mother. And that umbrella of the mother has an umbrella over it. It says the father. And that umbrella that says the father has an umbrella over it, and it says it's Christ. Christ is the covering. And then it speaks to the structure and the authority that's supposed to be there. Now, if you've ever had an umbrella on a rainy day, I know we don't get a whole lot of those here, but if you've ever had an umbrella on a rainy day and my umbrella's over my head, what happens if I do this with my hand? It's going to get wet, right? Because it's outside of the covering, okay? If I think about that drawing of the family structure and I have a child, children over here and I got one child over here doing this, the child's going to get wet. If I got Christ and the father and the children, but the mother's over here, same thing, okay? Anytime you fall outside of that. So it's there for a covering, and it's there for protection. Just like men, we don't want anybody to tell us what to do. We don't want to feel inferior at any point. And I would go as far as to say if some men struggle to even think about the idea that they need a protection, a covering over them. I'm the leader. I'm the man. I'm the head. So I don't really need God or anybody else to tell me what I'm supposed to do or to be looking out for me, okay? Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 14. We've got a few scriptures I want to read here. Isaiah chapter 14, starting at verse 13. And I don't often try to give a title or thought or theme to a lesson, but I'm going to talk tonight about the problem with pride, okay? The problem with pride. That's what we're going to speak about. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, and this is the prophet Isaiah writing about the fall of Satan, Lucifer, from heaven. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Next verse. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan didn't want anybody telling him what to do. He didn't want to be under any kind of authority structure. He didn't want to be under any kind of protection or plan or covering according to the way that the due order of how God created things. He said, no, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to be just like him. He says, I'm going to exalt myself above the stars of God even. Okay, in verse 15, it says, yet thou shalt be brought down into hell to the sides of the pit. So you're going to go from the highest to the lowest. Okay, now turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14. And just think about that image of Lucifer saying, I'm going to be like the Most High. Okay, everybody say Most High. That means the highest. Okay, I'm going to be like the highest. But it says, no, you're going to be brought down to the lowest. Okay? Proverbs chapter 14, and let's look at verse 18. Proverbs chapter 14. I'm sorry. We're in Proverbs chapter 16. I got the wrong one there. Proverbs chapter 16. In verse 18. And no doubt we've heard this saying before. It says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Okay? Pride. I'm going to break it down for you about as simple as I can right here at the beginning. That imagery that we have of Lucifer wanting to be the highest and then becoming the lowest. Pride is wanting to be the highest. It's exalting. That means making something go up, lifting it up. Okay? And specifically, pride is self-exalting. When I exalt myself, I'm going to make myself the highest thing possible. Okay? And even when it says haughty spirit, that is translated as high. Okay, exalted, something that's up high. And we often talk about these words that we read. You would see them most often speaking in reference to a king's majesty. Okay, he is the highest person in the land. There's nobody above him. Okay, so when it says pride goes before destruction, that desire to be the highest thing, that pride is met with destruction, okay? And destruction meaning breaking, crashing, crumbling, shattering. So this thing, even if it's myself that I'm wanting to be lifted up as the actual highest thing, gets brought down and actually broken and shattered into pieces, okay? Now that's what happens with pride. Let me read you just a few things here. Pride is exaltation of self, and it is thinking too highly about yourself and your ways. Okay, the scripture says, let no man think higher than he ought to about himself. Okay? Humans, though, follow me a few. I'm just going to read a few notes that I made. Humans link pride to possessions. Okay, something that I have or something about me that gives me a reason to be proud. We often think that those who have the most possessions or have the best possessions are the ones most likely to be proud. But pride is not about what you have. It is how you feel about what you have. I'm going to say that again. Pride is not about what you have, what you possess. It's how you feel about what you possess. Okay? You can have, and here's the proof for that, here's the reason. You can have next to nothing at all, but be full of pride in yourself about the way that you can get by with next to nothing at all. How to take a vacation on a $100 a month budget. How to support a family of seven on a $100 a month budget. I can do it. If I can do it, anybody can do it. And I'm proud. It's not about what I have. See, it's about how I feel about what I have. Okay? Now, again, pride doesn't say what I have is the best. Pride says it's got to be the best because it's what I have. Those of you with $200, $300, $400 a month budgets, I'm doing it on $100. See, that's therefore I'm saying what I have is the best. Do you see the difference? Okay. All right. Oh, you got that brand new 2017 Ford. Fill in the blank. I'll tell you what's really good is this 2003 that I've had for 6 years, and I've put all these miles on it. It's the best. You think you got the best, but what I've got is the best. Okay? And the pride says it's got to be the best because it's what I have. Okay? Now, that in a nutshell is pride. Okay? Thinking that what I have or me is the best because it's mine. Okay? It is a look at me attitude. Okay? Look at me. I want this attention. I want your, what's the word I'm looking for? I want your approval of what I have. And I actually want your praise of what I have. I want you to agree with me that what I have is the best. And I want you to agree with me that I am the best. Okay? Here's the problem. Pride makes me think that all of my ideas are the best ideas, and it also makes me think that all of my actions are justified. Well, if this is the best, and what I'm doing is producing the best, then that's okay, because it's the best. It's good. This is what I want, and I'm proud of it, so I'm going to justify what it is that I do to have it. Okay? Again, I'm going to read verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now look at verse 5 of this chapter, if you will. Proverbs 16, verse 5. So the problem is that it makes me think what I have is the best and what I do is okay. Verse 5, chapter 16, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart, say proud in heart. That's a key distinction for what we're going to talk about. Proud in heart. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. There's a scripture that says these seven things that the Lord hate, these six things that the Lord hate, these seven are an abomination. And what's on that list? A proud look. Okay? Then scripture says here, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination. This is something that the Lord hates, okay? That attitude, that mindset. And it says here, though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Your pride cannot be met without punishment from the Lord. That's what the scripture, same thing as what the scripture says in verse 18. It goes before destruction. Okay? Now, pride in heart has to do now solely with me. This is an individual thing. Brother Martin can't put pride in my heart. Brother Joey can't put, he can't make me proud in my heart. Okay, this is me. This is my own thing. Pride in my heart about myself. Okay? We're working our way back to the start of this chapter. Verse 1 now. Proverbs 16, verse 1. Preparation, the preparations of the heart. This is a verse. I am not trying to be critical, but this King James Version absolutely butchers this verse. Because let me just read it, and then I'll hear you say, huh. The preparations of the heart in man and the answers of the tongue is from the Lord. I had to read that about 3 times before I even realized that I didn't get it. Okay? But let me read it to you in this other version. The purposes, the preparations, or the purposes of the heart are of man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So what does that mean? What the preparation or the arrangements, the plans, okay? Those are of the heart of man. The man is the one that comes up with the plan. He's the man with the plan, okay? So now I'm thinking, this is in my heart, okay? The preparation comes from the heart of man. I'm the one that's going to decide, first we do this, then we do this, and then we do this. Okay, that's my 3-step plan, and it's a good one. Where'd it come from? From my heart. That's what Scripture says. Okay? And then it says, but the one that actually has the final approval, if I can put it that way, the actual true saying comes from God. Okay, what that tells me is I can have all the plans, all the arrangements, all the preparations that I want to, but if it's not met with the voice of God, I'm in trouble. They don't match. Who's got the final say? He does, right? Now, this is something I better get a hold of this, or I'm going to be mad at him, because I've got the plans, I've got the preparations and the plans. I even know the purpose is behind him. Well, it's really thought out, God, trust me. Because I know after we do this, that's going to set this up just right. And then when I get this, it's going to make this fall into place. I've thought this out. The preparations are from the heart of man. Okay? Verse 2, and here's further proof of this. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Clean meaning pure. Nothing wrong with it. That's my 3-point plan. It's perfect. It's bulletproof. It's going to get me to where I want to go. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. The problem, though, still is, where did the plan come from? From my heart. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. Oh, hang on a second. We just introduced another element to this little story. I wasn't trying to be spiritual about that. You know, I'm just, this is a good plan. It's going to be what I need to do to get me where I need to go. The preparations, okay? But it says to me that looks clean. Nothing wrong with it. That's the perfect plan. Okay? But the Lord knows, what is this thing rooted in? Okay? What is the spirit behind this? We already identified a spirit that the Lord hates, a haughty spirit. Okay? So when he looks at your plan, Brother Lewis, where do you see yourself in 10 years? Well, I think we're going to do this and this, and I got this planned out. I got this all taken care of already. I'm just sitting there watching that fund grow. That looks good to me, but what's the root of that thing? Is it so you can say in 10 years, Fill in the blank. So you can say in 10 years you have the nicest car on the block. So you can say in 10 years you have the most money of anybody in your family. So you can say at the end of that plan, you are the highest. That's the Lord weighing the spirits. Okay? That's how he's working. He's proving that there's pride involved in this plan. Now to you, the man, those preparations look right. They look pure. Okay? But when it comes out of this origin that's of a spirit, this is something the Lord knows. This is something that he sees, and it's frankly, it's something that he won't allow. Okay? Verse 3. See, before this, I thought Proverbs was just a bunch of random thoughts that didn't really even fit together. But all of this whole chapter of Proverbs 16, he's talking about what's in here, what's in my heart, and what's it going to lead to, and what do I do about it? Okay, verse 3, he says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Let me read you another translation. Put your works into... Sorry, I just got it. I can't get beyond the visual. When I was studying this verse, and when it says commit, the actual word, a translation of that word means to wallow. Okay? That's not one you see very often when you're studying. Wallow. What does that mean? Wallow around. That's what I think of. I get the visual of a pig wallowing in the mud. I can't use that word in really any other sentence. So that's the sentence I got to use it in. Okay? But so this is what I'm doing. But it says, do that unto the Lord. And another meaning is to roll, like we're going bowling. Okay, I'm rolling my works unto the Lord. Okay, can I just give you the old Caleb version of this? When you just read this religiously, you see commit, and you think, I know how to do that. Commit. Okay, commit. I'm going to make a commitment. And I'm going to commit to the Lord. From now on, everything I do is going to be right. That is not what this verse says. Okay? The verse does not say, make a commitment that all your works are going to be done before the Lord, pleasing to him. Okay? No, it really means run that by him first. Okay, let the Lord see what it is that you're going to be doing before you do it. Why? Because we said in verse 2, he tries the spirits. He weighs the spirits. And he knows, is that thing right or is that thing wrong? Is it approved? I'm so thankful. That's a question I get asked very often in my house with my children. If nothing else, I've got them to the point to where they, before they do something, is this approved? Is this okay? Daddy, is this approved? I'm not trying to oversimplify it. That's the meaning of what this verse says, to commit your works to the Lord. You run it by him. You seek his approval before you even do it. Because as the loving father that he is, he will say, let me talk to you for a minute about why I don't want you to do that. I'm weighing the spirits here, and I know this one right here is not approved. It's not going to fly, okay? We don't do that. You might not even know why, but I'm telling you right now, no, we don't do that, okay? Oh, by the way, he knows the end from the beginning, okay? So when I try to do what this says, commit thy works, and then it says, thy thoughts shall be established. Or the other translation says, your purposes will be made certain. Your purposes. We're back to these plans, these purpose, these preparations that the chapter started with talking about, then your purposes will be certain. All your thoughts will be established. Then you'll know what I'm doing is right. What I'm doing is approved. What I'm doing, I've run it by the Lord, and I've got his okay. Now, if it doesn't work, it's up to him. He's the one that gets to determine the outcome if I've got the okay to do the work. Okay? One more verse, verse 19. We started off talking about Lucifer and what he said, I will ascend. I will make my throne in the heavens. Well, that's a plan. That's a preparation, right? But that's a purpose rooted in a haughty spirit, okay? So just like I'm going to be committing myself, seeking his approval for every action that I do and learning these things. Verse 19, after it says, pride goeth before destruction. Verse 19, it says, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. To divide the spoil with the proud means you flash forward ahead to that 10-year plan and you've got that nicest car on the block. I'm dividing the spoils with the proud. That's not the way that we would say it, okay? But what the scripture is saying is you could do that, but what is better? Better to be of a humble spirit. We're talking about high or low, okay? The reason, because I can attain the highest possible goal for me, for in my own humanity, and really that's nothing. Scripture would say it's vanity. There's nothing there. It's empty, okay? Because as soon as I've got that nicest car on the block, sure enough, a day, a week, a month, a year, whenever it is later, I'm going to see another one go by. Ooh. Or my neighbor's going to pull up and park next to me in the luxury model. Okay, that it's vanity. It's empty. When I try to ascend, when I try to reach whatever it is that is in my heart that's rooted in that pride. Okay? Does that make sense? I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I'm going to come to a close. I'm going to turn this back over to Bishop. Why don't we just take a moment and pray? Lord Jesus, I pray right now, God, you would search our hearts. God, that you would try our spirits, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, every thought, Lord, let it be in captivation by you. Every thought, Lord, every spirit that we entertain, Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that we would seek you before we do that, before we think that, God, before we act on that. Let us run that by you, Lord. Let us commit our works to you, Lord Jesus. God, I pray there would be a spirit of humility, God, that's rooted, God, in your spirit, Jesus. Let us be made more like you, Jesus. Let us become who it is that you intend for us to become. Jesus, in your name, we desire your purity, God. We desire your will, Lord Jesus. We desire your ways above all, God. Jesus, we know the way that seems right to us, God, it will be met with destruction. Jesus, it will be met with death, but your ways are life, God. Your ways are true. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you. In Jesus' name.
Praise God. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. It's the monitors. It's impossible to shut those. That's what's rolling.